This morning, we're going to start off by reading a passage of Scripture. We're going to do something really old school. Okay, old school was you would stand up in honor of the reading of the Scripture. So let's go and stand up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able." Say that. God is able.
God is able.
Oh, you guys are awake. I like this. I love how it's nestled into this little passage here. God is able. Three powerful words. God is able. God is able to make all grace. Listen to the alls. There's four of them. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Amen. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You may be seated. Today we're going to be working through that passage of Scripture. I love preaching about money, and it's not because I love money. It's not because, you know, I'm doing this to get rich. I love it because the Bible is so clear about money. It's so applicable. You know, in my job, what I do is I read the Scripture, I study the Scripture, I try and figure out how does this relevant today? How is this going to connect with the people I'm speaking with every Sunday? How are they going to be able to engage this topic? And then I prepare it and present it in a way that's creative and try to use teaching tools so it'll stick with you and so you can take it out with you when you go home. And so in the process there, sometimes the hardest part is that relevance section. It's how can I really get this to where they can see that it applies to their life today, here and now, something that was written 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago or 3,500 years ago, that how can this apply to me today? And maybe it's some of the laziness that I might have that I like preaching about money because that section is like null and void. I don't even have to worry about that section. It's applicable today, straight from Scripture, exactly what Scripture says. So in that light, we're going to be looking straight at this passage from 2 Corinthians, a passage that a lot of you hopefully spent some time reading this week, preparing for this message, and we're just going to go straight through it. And so a lot of your notes are just straight from this passage. So let's go on and start taking notes straight from the positive part of his opening statement. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously, yes. So I'm going to write that down. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul starts this section off with a very practical agricultural analogy. The concept is simple. It's just straightforward. If a farmer spreads a lot of seed, he has a chance for a lot of crops. If he spreads only a little bit of seed, his best case scenario is a little bit of crops. Sounds logical to me. I'm not even a farmer. I'm not agriculture. I have some farmers in my past, in my genealogy. My mom's family, they were farmers. They owned a 300-acre farm down in North Carolina, and that's what they did for a living. They farmed. And so my mom and all of her sisters, they were worked just as hard as the guys were, because my grandfather only had two boys and five girls. It's either 7 total or 9 total. I know there's a 7 in there somewhere. So, but all those girls, man, he wanted boys to work the farm. Larry knows how that is. Yeah, he comes from an agricultural background, and so this it makes sense. And for them, it made sense. They had a 300-acre farm, and there was a certain amount of the land that was dedicated to, you know, vegetation, forest, and they had a handful of ponds there. And it wasn't really good farming land, and so they left it as is. But then they had a good portion of land that was good for farming. And so they had, say if they had 100 acres dedicated of good farming land, if they only planted seed, sowed seed on 1 acre, crop wasn't going to just all of a sudden appear on the other 99 surrounding it. It just wasn't going to happen. If they just sowed on 1 acre, best the chance they had of getting a crop was just 1 acre's worth of crop. So if they wanted 100 acres worth of crop, they'd have to sow 100 acres worth of seed. Now with this, you know, farmers, they can't do anything about the weather. That's out of their control. You know, they can't, we see that here recently, up, down, snowing and cold and really cold and then cold and then really cold and, you know, just wreaking havoc on some of us who get headaches when the temperature jumps. And so the farmers can't control the weather. That's something that's out of their control. If it rains a whole bunch or there's a drought or whatever, they can only do a certain amount about pests, especially in the time when Paul was sharing this analogy. There was only certain things they could do about keeping the bugs out. We've got pesticides now, and that doesn't even fully work. So you can only do what you can, but the pests are still going to have their ways in there. Or maybe even, you know, the scarecrows they'd put up to try and scare the birds away from the seed. And surely you'd have some manly birds, you know. Scarecrow don't scare me. I'm going to get some seed anyway. Watch this. You know, all the guys, watching. You know, the little girl, you know, birds sitting there like, oh, look. You know, so and I'm sure that happens, you know. And so they put out a scarecrow to maybe scare away some of the birds. But as a crop grows up, that scarecrow doesn't scare away, you know, the deer or the, you know, the little bunnies that come on or whatever other little, you know, woodland animals that would take part in putting a dent in the produce. These are all things that are outside of the farmer's control. The one thing they can control is how much seed to sow. It's the one thing they can control. They're in charge of that. How much seed to sow. So if they sow generously, they're going to reap generously. Now, this section, this little analogy is in the middle of a section where Paul is talking clearly about money. If you go back and read the first 5 verses of this chapter, you'll learn that what is happening is that the Corinthians had promised to give a gift, and Paul's going to be sending some people to get that gift, and he wants to make sure that there's no embarrassment here. And so he's reminding them about the gift and reminding them about aspects of the gift in the passage that we're studying today from verse 6 on. So it's a whole passage about money, about giving, about finances. And so whereas it's an agricultural illustration, the implications are clear. The connotations are financial. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Those who give to the kingdom will reap how they sow, whether it's sparingly or it's generously. We talked last week about how God's establishments, they run on the generosity of the whole. It's been the case for thousands of years. It's the way God's establishments run. It's a pattern of how his establishments operate. The funding of the church comes from the generosity of the whole, of each member. We talked 2 weeks ago about how our investments and our generosity add value to the dollar. So when you give to the kingdom, when you give to God, and it goes into church, and it goes into ministry, and that ministry goes into, like, say, CIY, and we see, you know, teens come back from CIY, and they've decided to give their life to Christ, or they've decided to not only give their life to Christ, they've done that once before, but they come back and they decide they want to give their life to vocational ministry of some sort and dedicate whatever type of life they're going to live to being a minister. If they're an accountant, they're going to be an accountant that ministers where they are. Sort of like, you know, I know that Shane, his view, he's a maintenance guy, but he's a maintenance guy that's a minister where he is. He wants to minister there. He wants to serve here. And so that's what, you know, when we see teens come back from that, you have invested money. It's not just given so that they can go to CIY. You've invested money. And you see that investment when people come to Christ. You see that investment when people do great things for the kingdom. So your investment, when you invest money into the kingdom, it adds value to the dollar. When you're generous with your money, that adds value to the dollar. It adds value to other people. But on the you know, the you side of things, it adds value to you when you're generous. You get a chance to feel good about what you've done. You get a chance to feel good about who you are and how you're behaving. And you get a chance to take pleasure in watching what your generosity has given to someone else. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. Generosity adds value to the dollar. And then we talked in the first message about how our money management habits come from our principles, which are based on core values. We manage our fixed resources based on what's inside here, based on what's inside of our heart. And that's what Paul's saying. Let's go back up and just, we're going to break this whole passage down that we've already read. Verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap. Each man should give what he has decided, where? In his heart, not in his head, in his heart. He's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's a powerful statement. So let's go and take some notes on this. I should give what I've decided in my heart. Let's write that down so it reinforces what we've read in Scripture. I should give what I have decided in my heart. It's a decision that comes from your core values. It's not a decision that comes from being pressured or manipulated or guilted into doing it. Or even to use a positive word, it's not a decision that comes out of being persuaded. Because that's what I do on a Sunday morning. I try to persuade you to engage God's word, to put God's word to work in your life, to do what God's word says. I'm persuading. And yes, there's good things in that, but that's not the end goal. The end goal of this whole ordeal is for me to persuade God's word, or persuade you to take God's word into your life, and then it would change your heart. And that would be where your decision to give comes from. Not because I've done some sort of persuading, but because God's word has gotten in your heart and that's changed your core values and you've made a decision out of your heart to give. It's from your heart. And if it's from your heart, then your generosity is a true reflection of your heart's condition. It reveals your heart. If it's from your heart, then your generosity, it's a part of the core values that you hold dear. And you get to see that. And then you're not going to regret giving. You're not going to give reluctantly. So let's go and write that down straight from Scripture, straight from 2 Corinthians 9. I should give what I have decided in my heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Not reluctantly. I should give what I've decided in my heart. I'm going to the next one. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Those are powerful words. God loves a cheerful giver. It's not like God just, you know, nonchalantly clicked the like button on your Facebook status. You know, He loves. I want us to gather that. I've preached on that before and I don't have time to go in depth, but of all the things that God says He loves, and a cheerful giver is one of those. This is a top shelf statement from God. He loves a cheerful giver. And my question is why? It's because a cheerful giver is a reflection of God's own heart inside man. A cheerful giver is someone, one of God's children, who gets it. And God can look down on that child because they get it. They get the joy of generosity. They get the excitement of giving to someone else, the pleasure of seeing that happen, of giving, of sacrificing, of loving, of generosity. And when you see a cheerful giver, it means they get it. They get it here, they get it here, they get it here. It reflects God. It reflects God's Son. The generosity that He gave to us. Let's continue in verse 8. And God is able, we repeated that this morning, God is able to make, and here are all these four alls. I could preach a whole sermon on just this one little thing. I could do all. So God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Those are strong words. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich. Big words. Powerful words in this passage. You will be made rich in every way so that you will be given an abundance, more than what you need, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So it's going to write these things down. God supplies the sower. That's what God does. He supplies the sower. And you are the intended sower. You are the sower. Tap a neighbor on the shoulder and say, you are the sower. Tell them that. Tell them with conviction. You are the sower. Poor Dina. Dina's no one to tap. So you're the sower, Dina. You're the sower, Daryl. There we go. There. No shoulders. You guys, you're going to start sitting within shoulder distance of each other. So you are the sower. I mean, we're all intended to be the sower, and God supplies the sower. See, a sower is someone who, get this is profound, this is deep, this is amazing intelligence being revealed to you here. A sower is someone who sows. Yes. If you're not sowing, you're not a sower. You're just an extravagant shelf for seeds. You are a very complex storage place for unused seeds if you're not sowing with the seeds that have been given to you. You are intended to be a sower. I can say that confidently, that God has intended every one of us to be sowers because he has supplied us, and God supplies the sower. Every one of us, God supplies the sower. He will make sure I have what I need to succeed. He's going to write that down. He will make sure that I have what I need to succeed as a sower. Verse 8, very simply, having all that you need. Okay, I want you guys, I'm not veering from Scripture at all today. I'm not even getting creative with things. This is just straight from Scripture. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, you'll have all that you need to succeed, to abound in every good work. So, he makes sure that I have everything I need to succeed. He will make sure that I am supplied to be generous. God oversupplies the sower. He oversupplies the sower so that he can be generous. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And then the next one there, God blesses me so that I can be a blessing. God blesses me so that I can be a blessing. This is God's pattern. God blesses so that you can bless others, and then they praise God for the blessing that you are, that God was through you. You guys, if you've been a part of that, any part of that, you know, yeah, that sounds familiar. That's how it goes. God blesses. The blessee becomes the blesser. Then the blessee praises God for the blesser. Okay, I just took something very simple and made it very complex. God blesses me so that I can bless others. That's the pattern that Paul talks about in verses 12 and 13. He said, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Just going to write this down. My generous gifts result in supplying the needs of God's people. Very practical. So when we give generously, it supplies the needs of God's people. It's where it practically goes. My generous gifts result in supplying the needs of God's people. And then this one, I don't know if it got changed. I meant to change that. So God's people praising God. It fits better in the sentence there to flow off of the top one. So my generous gifts result in God's people praising God for my obedience and generosity. My obedience and generosity. And if you look back there at verse 13, you'll notice those two words are there. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them with everyone else. Everyone say obedience and generosity. Big deals. Think about Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. What was it? Yep, absolutely. And Paul says, this is why people are going to praise God, because of your obedience and generosity. And then one last note here before we move on to something else. And that is, correctly managing my fixed resources will have kingdom results. I shared that with you guys a couple weeks ago, and this is kind of the funnel of the whole series. It all comes down to this, that correctly managing my fixed resources will have kingdom results. The whole thing, that's what it boils down to, this whole series. That's what it boils down to. So we've had a chance to digest this subject over the period of this month. We've had tons of scripture on this. You've had tons of study material to go home with you. We've had lots of teaching. Hopefully we've had lots of praying. Hopefully we've had lots of studying, lots of personal time being spent on this, lots of meditation time thinking about this subject, thinking about what God has mentioned. And we had a very candid talk last week about where our current financial state is here at the church. So with all of that, we come to this part of our series. We come to this part where we're going to examine our giving habits. We're going to do this in a way that's hopefully going to be very engaging for you. We're going to examine our giving habits as individuals, as part of a group. We're going to have a chance to look at ourselves and evaluate where we have been, how we have been managing money, if we like the way we've been managing money, if we like our habits, or if we don't like our habits. And if you don't like your habits, then today is the day to change. And that's why the sermon title this morning is Good Financial Habits Have to Start Somewhere. Everything has to start somewhere. If you're going to start something, you have a starting point. And if you've never started good financial habits, or you need to restart, you need to reboot, today's that day. And this is the place. So I want you to open your bulletin. I want you to share a little something. I told you we would come back to our bulletins. Go and open your bulletin, and in the little section here, attendance and offering. If you'll notice, we've got a couple columns there, the attendance for 8:30, attendance for 10:30, and the total. Then we've got two columns that are financial. We've got the average giving per week for that month, and then we've got the weekly budget, which I told you our weekly budget is based on just a bare bones. It's a survival budget, and that's even going to get cut smaller this year. We talked about negative stuff last week. I'm going to leave that there. So you guys can go back and re-listen to it if you need it again. But the idea is that is a survival budget. I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea at all. So what I want, I like goals. I like to have things out in front of me. I like to have something to shoot for. I like to know, you know, what first place looks like, you know, so I get a chance to aim for it. I like to have a target in front of me to know, okay, this is where I'm going. And so what I want to do, I want us together to add a third column on that. Okay, I want a third column, and that's going to be our giving goal as a congregation. To add a third column that we'll have, okay, here's what we actually brought in. Here's what we're giving and bringing to God. Here's what our bare, you know, minimum. Here's what we need to survive. Here's our goal. Because that's where we need to live. That's where we need to be, because that's a church in motion. God didn't mean for his churches to just survive. He meant for them to thrive. He wants us to be moving and going forward. And I tell you, a bare minimum, a survival budget is not a church in motion. It's not a church that's moving forward. It's not a church that's going to be investing generously into the kingdom. I don't like that idea. I don't want that. So I want a goal. We can't base our budget off of a goal. But I want us to have something in front of us where we can look at that and say, that's what we're shooting for as a church. And I don't want to just throw a number out there. I want a realistic number. And I want all of you, all of us, to be part of making that number. So we're going to build that number together today. First service, second service, both services together, we're building that number today. And we're going to use a tool that that we'll be passing out in a few minutes. It's going to be a giving goal faith promise card. And before we go down the negative route, let me tell you what these cards are not. Okay, before, so that you can just get rid of any of the negative thoughts here. This card is not a way of holding you accountable to the amount that you put on them. It's not for that. We're not going to send, you know, Tiny, who's this, you know, 6'2", you know, burly looking guy that talks like the Godfather, to collect your money if you're a few weeks late. You know, if you let things slide, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get a phone call saying, hey, why? In fact, on the sheet that you're going to get, it has a name slot, completely optional. I'm more interested in your participation in the exercise and building this giving goal together as a church than I am your name, your identity, okay? The name slot there is simply for anyone that would feel like they would want that extra part of accountability. We're still not going to call you. We're not going to do anything back on that. But for some people, to put their name on it gives them that extra feeling that someone somewhere knows what I have made a goal as. I've made this giving goal, and I know someone knows, and they saw that my name was attached to it. So for some people, that would give them an extra feeling of accountability. And so that's the only reason why I left that on there. Name part, completely, completely optional. Okay, so we've got, that's what it's not. It's not for accountability. These cards are not an attempt to poke into your personal life. It's not for that. Here's what this is. And listen carefully. I want you to get this. I want you to get it. This is a team building exercise. It is a chance for all of us together to set a giving goal as a team, as a whole. Both services working together for one goal. A goal set by the church for the church. Not a goal, and I can throw out numbers, and we've done that for, you know, we've come up with numbers for like the Easter offering to get the sound equipment stuff, and we figured out what we wanted to get. We put a number on that, and we gave you that number, and man, you guys killed it. You were awesome. You did a good job, great job with that. The year before that, they put together the number that needed to be done to renovate the youth area and all that. Once again, you guys killed that. It was awesome. So I know that if the leadership puts a number out in front of you and we say, here's what we need for such and such, you guys do a great job of hitting that. I don't want this to come from me. I don't want it to come from the leadership. I don't want it to come from the finance team or whoever's taking care of the budget here. I want this goal to be your goal that you set for you as a church. Do you get that? It's a team building exercise. This is an academic exercise. It's a teaching tool. You guys know I love to teach God's word. I love God's word to be able to, I love to be able to do whatever I can up here on a Sunday morning so that God's word engages your life and you engage God's word. If it means the big dry erase board that I love to get on and drawing funny pictures, I'll do that. If that's a way that it's going to help to be a teaching tool or using a video or using props or whatever, this is a teaching tool. It's a teaching exercise to engage God's word on this topic. It is a goal-setting exercise. If you read articles on goal-setting or books on the subject, or you consult experts in goal-setting across the board, one of the common strategies you'll see every time mentioned is to what? Write down your goals. Okay, I guess a few of you guys have heard that before. That's what this is. It's a goal-setting experience. It's writing down your goal, making it real to you, making you think, and making you think about a goal that you can do and achieving it. It's an exercise in responsibility. We shared last week, we're not in good shape here. This is your chance to take part in being a changing factor, to be a game changer, to be part of the solution with real numbers, side by side with other people who have real numbers, so that we can get a whole real number from all of us. And as a church, we team up together and we stand behind what Nehemiah said in chapter 10, that we as a church, we will not neglect God's house. And we're going to say that as a church through this. This is a spiritual exercise. It's a time to take God at his word and to step out on faith with a New Year's resolution about your financial habits, to get good financial habits. It's a resolution. You know, your resolution today might be to resolve to continue in your current giving habits because they're healthy, they're good. And your resolution today might just be to resolve to continue that going on. Your resolution today might be to get back to old giving habits that were healthy, that for some reason or another you've fallen away from, or some obstacle hit and you never did get back to it. Today's the day to go on and get back to it, to get back to those healthy habits. Maybe you need to resolve to return to some healthy habits. Maybe today is going to be your resolve to increase. I'm not going to stand in the way of that. I mean, if you want to challenge yourself, and today is a resolution to say, you know what, I've been given here and I'm comfortable, I'm ready to step it up. Maybe that's your resolution today. Maybe you're ready to resolve to start giving for the first time. Maybe you've never given on a regular basis. Maybe you've given to special events or you've given to special causes and you know the joy of a single event. Maybe today is your day to start engaging in an ongoing event and feeling the joy of knowing that you're contributing, that you're giving, that you're bringing back to God. Maybe today's the day to start that. Maybe that's your resolution. So what will your resolution be? So let's go on and pass out these cards. We've got our ushers. What's the contemporary version of that? So we've got our passer-outers. And they're going to pass them out. And so if you're a husband and wife and you guys give together, then I want everyone to take one. Everyone to take one. And I've got a reason for this. Everyone take one. If you're a husband and wife and you give together, then you just need one. If you're a husband and wife and you guys give separately, then take one apiece. But I want everyone to have one. I don't want anyone to be left out, and I've got reason for that. There's really good reason for that. I'm going to walk you guys through this process. I want to walk you through, give you instructions. I don't want you to do anything until the song starts playing. I'm going to give you instructions. We're going to pray. Logan's going to share special music. And during that special music, you'll have about 3 minutes to pray and fill this out and make it a heartfelt decision, something that's coming from your core values, your heart. So while you guys are getting them, I want everyone to grab a pen or a pencil. Everyone grab a pen or a pencil. And this, if you don't plan on filling it out, if you don't want to do a thing with it, still get a pen or a pencil. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Get a pen or pencil, every one of you. Everybody got pens? Hold them up. You know, like in school or something. Okay. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to fold this on the dotted line. Fold that on the dotted line and crease it. And then go on and tear that. So that you have two parts. Top part and bottom part. Now, let me walk you through this. Don't fill it out now. I'm going to explain it to you. Then when the song's playing, that's your turn to fill it out. Okay, because I don't want pencils moving right now for the purpose of why I want everyone to have pencils. You guys are probably confused about that, but we'll get to that. Okay, name part, I've already described that. Optional, completely optional. If you want that extra feeling of accountability, feel free. You know, knock yourself out, put your name on there, go for it. Not as important. What I want some giving goal numbers that you can say, okay, I can do this. So say, you know, you'll put a number in there, whether you're going to give weekly, bi-weekly, which bi-weekly is what, every other week. Yeah, this is confusing. Semi-monthly is twice a month, okay? Bi-monthly is not twice a month. Bi-monthly would be once every, it's confusing. So bi-weekly would be 26 times a year. Semi-monthly would be 24 times a year. Then monthly makes it a whole lot easier. 12 times a year, quarterly, 4 times a year. And so you decide which section you're going to give out of there. And so what you do, and then what you'll do from that is you'll multiply times the number there and get your total for the year. So if you're going to give monthly and you're going to give $1,000 a month and just really blow it out, then you'd multiply 1,000 times 12 and you'd get 12,000. So you'd put 12,000 in that final box over there. If it's weekly, then you'd multiply by 52 and just get a total year number. And I'm hoping that once we put all these together, this giving goal is just going to blow away the budget and we're just going to be just thrilled and excited. I'm expecting that. I'm looking forward to that. So as you're deciding in your heart to give, I want you to decide in your heart, take the messages this month and apply them here. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give under compulsion. Don't give out of guilt. I want you to think back to the first message and think about the first fruits. that we give the first fruits. I want you to think about bringing the tithe. Some of you, that's a foreign thing for you, and you're like, man, that's 10%. That's a lot of money. And maybe you want to get there, but you're not ready for that yet. I'm cool with that. Let's work on some goals. Okay, maybe it's 5%. Maybe you figure out what 5% would be, and you get paid every other week, so you'd mark down biweekly, and you'd do 5%, and your personal goal would be then to try and increase it 1% for the next 5 years, so that in 5 years you're up to, and then you can test out the Malachi passage. Okay, if you've ever wanted to test that one out, then you can get there in 5 years. So, because jumping straight to 10%, that's really tough if you've never given. So, you know, maybe it's $50 every 2 weeks, and that's all you can do right now. You don't feel even comfortable with the 5% deal. And, you know, $50 every 2 weeks, that ends up $1,300 for the year. That's going to help. That's going to help a lot. So whatever you can do, I want it to come from the heart. I want it to be something between you and God. So that's the top half. Now, the bottom half, this is between you and God alone. Okay, I want you to take this. I do not want any of these left behind. I don't want anyone who took this seriously to be discouraged because someone else just left theirs and didn't care about it. Okay? Take these home. If you're going to throw them away at home. Okay? Do you understand my purpose of that? I want people who are going to engage this to be encouraged. I don't want them to look around and see 5 or 6 of these laying around in the church and go, oh, was I the only one that, you know, took this seriously? I want them to be encouraged, okay? I want this to be a group effort. I want everyone to be a part of it, okay? So this part's for you, and what you'll do is you'll just copy over the information you had from the other one. You know, if you set a giving goal for $100 a week, then you'd say, I have set a giving goal for 2014 of $100 on a weekly basis so that my total for the year would be $5,200, and you'd fill that out. And then the signature there, that is not for the church. This is not legally binding, et cetera, et cetera. This is just between you and God. It's like when you fast. If any of you have ever fasted, it's a way of telling God, I'm serious about what I'm praying about. I'm serious about wanting to try and get an answer or trying to get some sort of resolution, or I need you to help me, and so I'm going to fast about this. That's all the signature is on this card. It's something between you and God. Because sometimes that does something to our heart and our psyche. When we sign our name, we know that that's some sort of a contract on an earthly level. And so if you sit down with God sometime tonight and you say, you know what, God, I'm going to commit to this. This is what I want to do. This is my giving goal. I want to reach it. And I'm going to be accountable to you. And then you take a moment, you pray about it. And you take a big swallow and you just, you know, and you sign it. Okay? That's between you and God. Once again, just a tool for you. I want you to do things that are going to bring you and God closer. So that's my goal on that. So you've decided we're going to be singing a song, or not singing a song. Logan's going to sing a song. We'll be listening to a song. I want every pencil moving while the song, you know, sometime during the song. If you're not going to write anything down, if you're not going to write numbers down, just scribble something. Draw a picture. Whatever, I don't care. I'm not going to be offended when I see a card with just scribbles on it. My reason being, because there are going to be people on each side of the group here. Okay, there are going to be people over here that don't want to participate. That they're going to reject the idea. They're not going to want to do it. I don't want them, because this isn't about you. It's about us as a group. I don't want those people to discourage the other people that want to do it, that want to take part in it. So if you're one of those people, that's fine. I'm not going to try and convince you out of that. I just want you to write something down. You know, even if it's not, you know, even if you're saying, this is stupid, you know, that's fine. Whatever you do, I want a pencil moving so that the people in this middle group, they don't think they're the only ones out there. Okay? They don't think, and some of that would be someone here, and it's their first time, and they're excited. They're like, okay, I'm ready for this. I want a giving goal. I've never given to a church before. I've never given to God. I've never tried to bring the tithe, and I'm excited to step forward. Well, if they're excited, and the song starts playing, and they kind of look around, and they see people that have been going to church here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and they're all sitting there, how's that going to make them feel? They're not going to be encouraged. They're not going to want to take part in this. Okay, so I want you engaging it, whether or not you do anything. And I also want it so that the people over here who aren't quite there yet. You know, it's not that they reject it, They're just not quite ready for it. They're still digesting it. They're still taking it in. And they're saying, you know what, I'm not ready to make a giving goal right now. I don't want them to feel like a spotlight is on them because they're not writing anything down. So if you're in that category, go on and once again, just scribble something down, write something down, whatever. You know, I'm praying about it or still thinking about it or whatever. You know, go on and write that down because, once again, I don't want a spotlight on you. I don't want you to feel bad. I also want to make sure that everyone's encouraged. Does this make sense? Does that make sense across the board? So we're coming together. We're building a goal together. We're all going to write. After you're done, you're going to fold that in half one time so they all match. And then towards the end of the song, our people are going to come through with the offering plates, the offering bags, and we're just going to put them back in there. And so we'll do that after I pray.